So in chapter 5, we're going to read just one verse, verse 18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for this time of year where we're reminded of the importance of thanksgiving. And Lord, we just pray you bless our time with our families and just the fellowship we can have with them. But Lord, we just pray you would help us that thanksgiving would not just be a yearly occurrence to us, but a daily practice. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And in Canada, we've celebrated Thanksgiving on the second Monday of October for generation after generation. It's part of our calendar. But it's something that we want to understand as we look into God's Word, that Thanksgiving is something, even though we celebrate it annually, it is also something that we should practice daily. As we get into God's Word, we find that it is God's desire, it is God's will for us to give thanks. And we think that as we pray the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we kind of look at it this way, okay, when this is, sometimes we question, well, what is the will of God for my life? And we think in different terms of what decisions we should make. But we see in the Bible is the Lord wants to make it really plain to us what His will is. And so when we see here where He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you," we realize, okay, this is something important. And we understand that if we're living our lives outside of the will of God, that's a dangerous place to be in. And so we realize, okay, God is saying this for a reason, and we want to fulfill that. We see in this passage it says, "In everything give thanks." And so it's the thought that in any circumstance, in any situation, whether it's a good day, whether it's a bad day, we are to give thanks. That it's a habit we're supposed to develop. We can think of that in terms of kind of looking on the bright side of things, that even if we do have a bad day, that we can find something to be thankful for, even if it's, well, I'm thankful it wasn't worse than what it is right now. And so that's important. We understand that. But then as well, we see in other passages that it talks about to be thankful also for all things. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it speaks of this just a few pages back in your Bibles, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. It says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we see there's not really very much wiggle room in that verse at all, that at all times we are to be giving thanks, and for all things we are to be giving thanks. And we see another place in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15 where it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." And it's something that we don't need to have a PhD in ancient Greek to understand really the word thankful. It's means to be full of thanks, and it's almost the picture is that we're always overflowing with and thankfulness is bubbling out of our lips because we have that, we're full of thanks. And so we see that, and we understand this is God's will for us, but it is something that sometimes we struggle to figure out how, and I think sometimes as well the why is an important question to ask too. Because it is, we need to be thankful in the good times, and we need to be thankful in the bad times. We need to be thankful for when our day goes well, when our day goes horribly. We need to be thankful when we get a, say, as farmers get a good crop. We need to be thankful when we don't get a good crop. That we think of that, that in the good times it seems easy. That there's things to definitely be thankful for, that we can make a big list and be thankful for those things. When it's the latter, where it's the bad times, where bad things happen, that's a lot of times where we find, how can I be thankful in this situation? How can I be thankful for this thing that happened? And it might be some tragedy you go through, some trauma, some loss, disappointment, pain. Sometimes it's bad news of your own health or someone else's health, or many other different things. And we find that that's a very hard thing to be thankful in those times, to be in that sense of being bubbling over with thanking God for what has happened. We question just the possibility even of being able to do that. But we, from the scriptures, we're confronted with the truth that we need to get into the practice of and the habit of thanksgiving. And as we realize it's there, I think the most important question that we need to ask ourselves is, why do we need to get into that habit of thanksgiving and the practice of it? And so I want to consider it from two aspects, because we want to realize it's just as important to be thankful in the good times as it is in the bad times, because we want to really understand it in these terms, that it's, we need to be thankful for our own sakes. That God wants, God's will is what's best for us. And so when we understand His desire for us to be thankful, He wants it for our sakes. And so first we want to consider that we need to be thankful to God in the good times, so that we do not forget the God who has blessed us. And if you turn with me first of all to Romans chapter 1. We see it's speaking of the descent of men into depravity going far away from what God wants for them. And we're not going to read this whole passage. But what I want to understand is that we see this as a progression downwards, but we want to see where it starts. It talks about verse 18. I'm just going to read verse 18 down to verse 21. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Well, notice in verse 21 it says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." That we want to understand is that God has revealed Himself to mankind in so many different ways, but we find that what happens is so often, even though we know God, we don't glorify Him as God, and we're not thankful. And when we're not thankful, it leaves us open to a lot of different things that it gives, we're told that we're not to give any place to the devil. And so in many ways, when we cease to be thankful, especially in the good times, that's when the devil has an opening in our lives. If you turn with me as well to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This was written as a warning to the children of Israel that we're soon going to enter into the promised land. It also ended up in many ways being a prophecy, which was sad to say, but we understand that we very much can need to hear the warning as well, lest it become a prophecy in our own lives. And so beginning in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." And so we see this warning given of God through Moses, that he says that when you're full, when you have abundance, when the Lord has greatly blessed you, that is a time where you have to remember to be focused, to give thanks to the Lord for what he's given you. Because if you don't, so often what our tendency is as we enjoy the blessings of God, we too often forget the God of the blessings. That and as we see in this passage, is a lot of times we start to be lifted up, we start to take credit for all the good things that have happened. And think that, oh, it's because of I'm such a good person, or I'm so smart, or I'm so wise, that this is why this has happened to me. And what we know from the Psalms, when we're lifted up in pride, with pride always comes destruction. And so we have to be very careful. We have to always remember everything that we have comes from God, that without him we are nothing, that every good and perfect gift cometh from above. It isn't by our own finagling or figuring things out. It's God blessing us. And so we want to remember that. And it's something that even as a nation that it's important for us to remember, because we think in times where things were very low, where people turned to the Lord and faith was very important. But in our nation today, where in many ways we live in great prosperity, where for many in our society, faith isn't even part of the equation of their daily life. There's no thought of God and what he has done for them. And so it is something that we want to be wary of. It's important for us to get into that practice of thanksgiving. We realize that it is our protection against pride, against self-sufficiency, against turning away from God, that we need to be a thankful people when times are good for our own good. It helps to keep our mind in the right place. But secondly, we also want to understand that we need to be thankful in the bad times. When things don't go as we expect, when sometimes we maybe have this worst case scenario in our mind and it ends up being beyond even what was our lowest expectations. But again, we question, how can I be thankful in the bad times? And sometimes even we ask, why should I be thankful in the bad times? But we realize that we need to be thankful in the bad times so that we don't miss out on the blessings of seeing God turn the bad things into good things. Because a lot of times what happens is when things don't go the way we hoped, we can get upset, we can get discouraged, we can start to complain, and it doesn't put us in a good position at all, that we focus on, we actually miss out on any blessings that God did give, and we focus on the few things that didn't go the way we hoped. But we want to realize is that God is working in our life in so many different ways. And there's things he needs to help us work through, issues of the heart. He wants to help us to gain victory in. And if everything goes perfectly and we never have any issues, we never have any problems, we're never going to be challenged to really grow and change. And so he brings different things that in the moment seem bad, but in time end up being a very good thing. And we see Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says these words. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And so again, all is that three-letter word that we struggle with so much, but we realize there's no exceptions, that both the good things and the bad things in our lives, we can be thankful for them because they all work together for our good, as we love God and as we recognize his purpose, that he's not just trying to make our life happy and comfortable. We see in the next verse, he's trying to conform us to the image of his son. He wants to help us to grow spiritually, so that we can, live as Christ lived and love others as Christ loved us. And so we realize that if we are not learning to be thankful, if we're not understanding the truth of this verse, then we are going to get upset. We are going to start to grumble and complain. And it can take us, our minds, down a very dark path. But we really want to see probably what the greatest example of this is with the life of Joseph. Joseph, of course, many of you here know the story that he was the favorite son in his family, provoked his brothers to jealousy, and in their jealousy they captured him and ended up selling him into slavery in Egypt. And then he tried to make the best of it, and he served his master very well and was honored for that, but then his reputation was slandered by a false accusation, and he ended up being in jail in Egypt for a crime that he hadn't done. And so in all that different time, you could think he could have very easily gotten upset, gotten bitter, and just given up on God and his faith. He thinks, God has abandoned me. God does not care about me. But yet we see that he remained faithful, and what happened is that in time, God exalted him. And we find that all those bad things worked out for good because he needed to be in Egypt and he needed to be going through things at a certain time so that he would be in the right place at the right time, so that he could be the deliverer not only of his own people but of so many nations of the world in that great time of famine. And so we realize with all that so many different things happened, so many disappointments, and he could have easily allowed those disappointments to overwhelm him, but because he didn't, he got to see the good that came out of it. And this is his testimony in Genesis chapter 50. He says, speaking to his brothers of what they had done to him, he says, "But as for me, he thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." That it was actually at this point when their father had passed away that his brothers were scared. He says, "Okay, we did all this bad stuff to Joseph in the past, and this is finally his time that he's going to do payback. He's going to just mistreat us," and they figured, well, we're probably deserving of it, but this is where they figured revenge is a dish best served cold, and so he's going to dish this up to us in double helpings. But we find that that wasn't his attitude at all, that he said, "This, all this stuff happened, but it was for good, and I'm accepting it, and we realize what good God brought out of it." And really, as we look at it, we see that it was a complete miracle that God was able to bring good out of these bad things. But that's, we understand God is a miracle working God, and he does this again and again and again. And we think of it in the life of Paul, that he was one that life didn't always go very easy for him. If you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 8 and 9, he says this. He says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." And you really, you think, as you look at those two verses, if you miss the second part of each phrase that he gives there, it would almost seem like he's complaining. He says, "Well, we're trouble on every side, that things are happening that just cause us to just be concerned of what's going to happen, just so much turmoil in our lives." He says, "We're perplexed." The idea that just we're confused. We can't make any sense of what's going on around us. He says we're persecuted, that people are attacking us unjustly. We're just trying to do what's right, and we're suffering for it. He says we're cast down, that it's like people are pushing us down, we're being mistreated. And you would almost think that this is where he's complaining. But we see how it turns just his attitude, where, yes, we're troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. That he just trusts God's with us, and we don't have to be afraid. He says we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We haven't lost hope, because we know, "I don't know what's going on. I can't make head or tails of what's going on. But I know God is in control. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's going to see us through this. He can give us wisdom." It says we're persecuted but not forsaken. That in the moments of persecution, those moments of suffering, it's where God is with him through it and giving him strength and comfort and grace in those moments of trial. That they're cast down but they're not destroyed. And we think of that one verse as the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he be cast, or though he fall, yet he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And so he could testify of this. We're going through a lot of terrible things, but God is still with us, and God is faithful. And he says in verse 17 of that passage, he says, of all these things that are happening, which we would look at as being overwhelming, he refers to them as our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That he doesn't focus on them. He sees them just as just a small thing that's only going to last for a short time. And he says they worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And we really want to recognize that in his life and in the perspective that God gave him. Because really, you think about it, in the three different verses that we read at the beginning, in 1 Thessalonians 5, in Ephesians, and in Colossians. We think that Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church, a church that is facing terrible persecution, but yet he is telling them, in everything, give thanks. We think even Ephesians chapter 5 and Colossians chapter 3, where he's saying, give thanks always for all things and be thankful. We realize he wrote those words when he was imprisoned, where he had gone through a lot of these different trials and different things, where he had people that were out wanting to kill him. But he's telling people, you need to be thankful. That we see as well in the book of Philippians chapter 1, where he, and this again is he's writing this from jail, that he says in verse 12, he says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. That he saw these terrible things that happened of his imprisonment, but he realized God was using them for something good. He was giving him an opportunity to testify of Christ before governors and kings. And he's talking about of how, as what happened, some, because of his faithfulness despite his bonds, that they became confident and waxed bold in speaking of God's word without fear. Some were preaching for different reasons. Maybe not necessarily the best motives, but at least they're preaching. But we see in verse 18, he says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. That he was looking at it, that the gospel is being furthered. More people are telling others about how they can come to Christ for salvation. God is being glorified. And he says, I will rejoice despite my circumstances because God is using it for something great. And so we want to learn to be thankful, even in the bad times, even for things that we don't want to go through, that things that maybe we wouldn't have dreamed of in our worst nightmares, that we want to learn to be thankful for those. Because God can bring bad out of good. And he can do that in all things. And it is an amazing thing to see. I know for us as a family, on Canada Day, we were enjoying the festivities here in town. And we noticed there are some dark clouds off to the south. And so we were coming home and we saw there was water in the fields and things and on the road, and we thought, oh good, we got some rain, this will be great. And as we're going down the grid road, just as we turned to go the mile south to our place, we saw white up and down either side of the road. And even though there was hail, there was water further, got rain further north, we got hail. And it mashed our garden and cracked our siding and different things. And it was just really, after having a good time as a family, it was very much a disappointment coming home and seeing all of that. But had the adjuster come out and they looked at it and says, yep, you have this happened to you. And so they said, okay, this is what it'll be. And so they gave a payout. And so from that, we were able to replace both the roof and the siding. They gave me plenty of money for my labor. And so we're able to kind of make use of my contractor's discount at the lumber yard. And so we were able to actually do a bit of upgrading on different things. And so now, even though we went through that hailstorm, if you come to our place, it looks like we have a brand new house. And so it's the thing is that we want to realize that God can do that. And through it all, it's a work that he's trying to do in us, to try to try our faith, to help it to grow, to expose our heart issues, so that he can bring healing and strength to them. And we need to learn to be in the habit of being thankful. And even if it's just simply saying, Lord, I'm thankful for this. I have no reason why I should be thankful for this. But you say this is going to be some, you're going to bring something good out of this. And I have no idea how you can do this, but I am going to wait and see. And when I do see it, I'm going to rejoice. And it may not be till we get to glory where we realize, wow, this is what he did that was good. And so we want to learn to get into the habit of thanksgiving. And we realize God is always deserving of our thanksgiving, of all that he has done, all that he allows into our life, all the things that maybe we don't know about till later, all the things that he's kept out of our life. But we want to realize that he wants us to be thankful, and he, it is his will for us to be thankful. But it is not so much for his sake as it is for our own sake. That he loves us, and he knows if we get into that habit of being ungrateful, of starting to murmur and complain, that takes us down a very dark path. That it's a place where the devil can get a great advantage over us and either get us in good times to be lifted up in pride and abandon God, or in bad times to get upset and abandon our faith. And so may the Lord help us, not just tomorrow, but every day of the year, to keep appreciating what we have of God. And as we learn to be thankful, just that it causes us to love God all the more, that it gives us a hope for the future, and in many ways it gives us an excitement that we don't know how God can bring good out of this bad situation, but we're looking forward to seeing how he will. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank you again for your great goodness to us. Lord, we thank you that everything you bring into your life is a gift. And Lord, sometimes the packaging that the gift is in makes us think that it's not a gift from you. And Lord, we just pray you would help us to trust you, help us to keep thanking you, even for the hard things, just knowing that you know best, you love us, and that you're doing things for our good and for your glory, even though in the moment we don't understand it. We just pray your blessing on each of us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.